Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Abadad, Abadad the father of Nashan, Nashan the father of Salam. Salam the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, Joseph, son of David, fear not, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Now from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were utterly terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and a baby lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.' Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now back to Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is this one who's been born King of the Jews? Where is he? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is this Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that's what the prophets have written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent it to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for this child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may worship him." When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Get up, take the child and mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child. He wants to kill him." So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night, and he left and fled for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again in prayer. This Advent season, where we look back to your birth and we look forward to your return. We look forward in hope, knowing that only through you is there peace and joy, and that because you so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. And so tonight, Lord, as we remember that and look forward, we have lit the Christ candle, knowing that you are alone our Lord and Savior. We pray this, Father God, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We look back to his birth, and it's inconceivable. It is hard to imagine Christ incarnate, God in flesh. And yet, he did not come as a king would come, as a Roman dignitary would ride into town on a white horse. Rather, he showed up in a stable. And because of the census and the requirement to come home, there was no room in a family home for them. No guest room was left open. They were all taken. And they were probably in what would be the first room of a house where the cattle, or some cattle, some sheep, would be kept, where the manger was. And they used that for a bed. In the Jewish world, as in the Greco-Roman world, wealth was important. Lineage was important. And we look back at Jesus' lineage. Women were in his lineage. How dare Matthew do that? Women of ill repute were in his lineage. And yet, in spite of the Jewish world, in spite of the Romans' world, looking at earthly glory, Christ came with not the noblest lineage as we would see it, not in fanfare, but rather placed in a manger. And where did the angels go? To the dignitaries, to the mayors, to the kings? No, to lowly shepherds in the field. In some ways, little has changed. Today we worship power and wealth and celebrities. And yet we are called back to this story of the Nativity. Who was Joseph and Mary? A lot like you and I. Nobody's. No power, no prestige. Low on the social scales of life. Coffeeville, a community that many have never heard of. And what they've heard is about the Dalton gang. We're flyover people. Yet the Lord does not see things as the world sees things. You see, because this lowly birth, this lowly couple, birthed Emmanuel by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians we read, "For in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." What the world overlooked was full deity. It all goes on to say, "For in him all things were created. So being born, yet he was before all things. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, that in everything he might have supremacy." Lowly parents, a lowly birth, and yet we did not know what we had as a society. And you have to think, as we look at the weeks of Advent, hope, peace, joy, love. What hope did Mary and Joseph have? Joseph was going to set her aside until the angel gave him a new hope. Where was the peace for Mary? How does one explain to their parents this miraculous birth? And yet the Lord would bring hope and peace to Joseph and Mary through miraculous circumstances. The shepherds would rejoice with the joy of the angels. The Magi would visit them and worship him. And from difficult circumstances, there was hope, there was peace, and there was joy. He is our risen Lord. He gives us an example through all these circumstances of what he is capable, because it says that the government will be on his shoulder. As we look back to the song we heard, Wadsworth wrote it as a poem at first. And when those University of Kentucky singers sing it, it gives me chills. And for those who would be concerned, yes, I did try to contact them for permission and did not hear back, so I felt full license to move forward. But the song is powerful. It was written at first as a poem. Wadsworth had lived a difficult life. He had lost his first wife and then his second to a fire. Both took a heavy emotional toll on his life. His second wife was burned in a fire that started in the home, and he tried to save her, and the flames even scarred his face, and thereafter he would always wear his full beard that probably represents the picture you think of when you see him. And then in the spring of the year of the writing of this poem, his son entered the Civil War against his wishes and then was severely injured, although he was able to recover. So it is against this backdrop that we hear these words that you heard sung. That sometimes many feel during this Christmas time, a time of great hope and peace and joy, yet for others it is very difficult. And Wadsworth penned these words, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." I cannot speak to his Christian beliefs. In fact, I believe he is probably Unitarian. And yet you can hear the difficulties and tragedies of his life ring out through these words. And regardless of his specific beliefs, he seemed to fully grasp the angel's proclamation and message to the shepherds, because he pens these words, "For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." This year, like many years, for many, there is a time of joy and hope, but yet even in the midst of this, we come back for another resurgence of COVID. Politics is uncertain. Worries of inflation batter our hope and peace. China and Russia look forward to destabilize the world geopolitical map. Iran and Israel rattle their sabers that many feel could result in nuclear exchange. Hate is strong, and hate does mock the song of peace on earth. But yet, in spite of these difficulties, think of the shepherds. Where did their peace come from? Not from circumstances. They would consider our plight heavenly and wonderful. Life was probably more uncertain for them and Joseph and Mary than we could ever imagine. Not that we go into comparison, but yet, in the midst of these difficulties, uncertainties, did the angels come down and say anything but glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom on his favor rests? In the midst of difficulty, uncertainty, unrest, the angel spoke the truth. Spoke these words and proclaimed them to the shepherds to share with others. So we too should take these words to heart. The angels did not back down in their proclamation. I pray God's favor would rest on us, and we'd feel his peace on earth. As we look back to the birth of Christ, and we look forward to his advent, his return, let us take heart and live out our hope in Christ. And because of that hope, not a hope that is merely simply a desiring wish, but a hope that is based on the reality of Christ, let us have peace in our hearts. And because this hope springs anew, not by our circumstances, rather by the power of Christ. And he gives us our peace in the midst of uncertain circumstances, not because things are well, but it proclaims his peace in spite of the circumstances. And therefore, we can rejoice. Because we see the full picture today. We look back and see his birth. And we read John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So let us live out our hope, our peace, and our joy, because the love of Christ surrounds us, not only through this holiday season, but through all seasons of life, the beautiful and wonderful and joyful, in the difficult and sorrowful and mournful. Peace on earth, goodwill to all of humanity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we remember the words of this song, written first as a poem, Lord, we give thanks that you would proclaim these words to us, not to mock us, rather to realize fully that in life's difficulties, in life's joy, in all things, we have peace because of you. Lord, for those who are struggling tonight, here at church, throughout our community, where Christmas is merely a sad reminder of what once was or what they can't have, as they see others have hope and joy and they feel unloved. Lord, let us, as we leave here tonight, take this message of peace on earth, as the shepherds did, to our surrounding community, remembering our hope in Christ, and that it gives us so much joy because you fully are the God of love. Lord, we rejoice in you that you have given us peace as only you can. And let us take your hope, your peace, your joy and love to our community that has desperate need of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.